जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गुरुवरदाये। यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चाहे यमुना तीरावन चाहे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय हो विष्णुपाद परमांश प्रविजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर अष्टरशत श्री डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय हो विष्णुपाद परमांश प्रविजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर अष्टरशत श्री डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद महाराज की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जायामुदीरये नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति न इष्टके। सो रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो Chapter 9, entitled Mother Yashoda Binds Lord Krishna, text number 18. स्वमातु स्वीन गात्राया विश्रष्टा कबराश्रजा दृष्ट्वा परिश्रमं कृष्णा कृपया सेत् स्वबन्धने स्वमातु स्वीन गात्राया विश्रिष्टा कबराश्रजा दृष्ट्वा परिश्रमं कृष्णा प्रप्यासेत् स्वबन्धने स्वमातु स्वीन गात्राय विश्रस्ता कबराश्रजः दृष्ट्वा परिश्रमं कृष्ण कृप्यासेत् स्वबन्धने. स्वमातु स्वेन गात्राय दृष्ट्वा परिश्रमां कृष्ण कृप्यासेत् स्वबन्धने स्वस्मातु स्वेन गात्राय स्वमातुस्मिन् गात्राय दृष्ट्वा परिश्रमं कृष्ण कृपयासित् Swamatuhu of his own mother, Krishna's mother, Yashoda Devi, Swina Gatraya. When Krishna saw his mother perspiring all over because of unnecessary labor, Vishrishta were falling down, Kabara, from her hair, Srajaha, of whom the flowers, Drishtva, by seeing the condition of his mother, Parishramam, he could understand that she was now overworked and feeling fatigued. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kripaya, by his causeless mercy upon his devotee and mother, Asit agreed Swabandhane in binding him. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Purport. When Mother Yashoda and the other ladies finally saw that Krishna, although decorated with many bangles and other jeweled ornaments, could not be bound with all the ropes available in the house, they decided that Krishna was so fortunate that he could not be bound by any material condition. Thus they gave up the idea of binding him. But in competition between Krishna and his devotee, Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated. Thus Krishna's internal energy, Yogamaya, was brought to work, and Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda. Om ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकां वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सगना ललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपीशा गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चना गौराङ्गी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे We read the translation again. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When Child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Hare Krishna. When Krishna Keshav Prabhu asked me to give class, you know, my immediate response was, you know, we have come here for a different purpose, you know, so I don't really feel qualified to give class. So then immediately he responded that everybody in Chaupati gives very good classes. So I said, everybody yes, but I'm the only exception. So please tolerate me. I mean, I'm not very good at giving classes, but seeking the blessings of all the exalted devotees over here. So many senior Prabhupada disciples, and I'm really overwhelmed to be here in the association of all of you. It's a great experience. We were here in 2006. And this is the second time that we are coming to Alachua, so it's a very humbling experience to see so many Prabhupada disciples. You know, back where we are in Chaupati, we do receive Prabhupada disciples, but it's like very relatively rare. So, and whenever they come, it's for us a great festival and celebration because, you know, they share with us so many of their intimate moments that they had with Srila Prabhupada. And it only enhances our connection with the movement and with Srila Prabhupada. So, here we have so many. So everywhere you see Srila Prabhupada's disciples. So very wonderful verse that we are reading today. So finally we are coming towards the, you know, conclusion of this particular pastime where Lord Krishna is now surrendering to his mother. He's seeing that she's put in so much of effort and finally she has become fatigued. And at that particular point of time, you know, he agrees to be bound by her love. So in Krishna consciousness also, we experience situations like this where, you know, Krishna really puts us to a test. And until we come to the stage of being fatigued, you know, Krishna doesn't really give us his mercy. And several times, unfortunately, you know, we give up halfway and we think, oh, Krishna is not being merciful to us, and, you know, why is Krishna doing like this and why is Krishna doing like that? And invariably we give up halfway, you know, not really fighting against, you know, the external energy of the Lord. But, you know, we understand from the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam and particularly from this pastime how Krishna really puts us to this test on several occasions, not just one occasion, because going on back to Godhead is not such an easy thing. Yeah? You know, we have come into this material world by our own independence. You know, because we wanted to be away from Krishna, we have come over here. And therefore, before we are really eligible to go home back to Godhead, then Krishna will really test us to find whether we are really sincere. And if we are sincere, then only, you know, Krishna will come and reveal himself to us at the time when we require him most. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, antakale chamam eva smaran muktva kalevaram yatrayati samad bhava yati nati atra samshaya. At the time of death, whoever remembers me will come back to me. Yeah, but the challenge for all of us is, of course, to remember Krishna at the time of death. And this whole process of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada has given us is just for that purpose, where throughout the day we are engaged in activities where we try to remember Krishna and remember his pastimes and associate with his devotees and eat Krishna Prasadam, chant his holy name. So this whole process, unlike the other processes that we particularly in India are, you know, right from childhood, we are told to just go to the temple maybe once in a week on a particular day, which is auspicious for that particular deity. You know, Saturday is supposed to be auspicious for Hanuman, or Tuesday is auspicious for Ganesh. So we are expected, or we are trained right from our early childhood, to just go to that particular deity and show an agarbatti or maybe offer a few rupees and, you know, pray to that particular demigod asking for, you know, certain things that we need in our material life to make our material life more comfortable. So that's how we are trained right from our early childhood. But when we come to this process of Krishna consciousness, then we are told that it's not just adequate for us to be doing that, but it's required for us to do much more. You know, we have to be remembering Krishna all the time, right? And then only then will we be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajit antakalevaram. Because the tendency of the mind is to be conditioned by material nature. We are all the time attracted to material nature, and more often than not, you know, we find that our mind is continuously bombarded by material nature, and we are so much subjected to this influence. So how is it that at the time of death we will ever be able to remember Krishna? More often than not, our mind will actually go into, you know, satisfying our senses, into all those activities which we were doing in order to gratify our senses. So that is the tendency of the mind. And we see from the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, so many exalted devotees of the Lord and actually had to do so much of endeavor in order to just have a darshan of the Lord. Like we know from the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. Now Dhruva Maharaj was a baby, you know, he was just 5-year-old boy, and he was born in a Kshatriya family. He was a son of Uttanapad, and just because of a small apparent insult, you know, to him that was made by his stepmother Suruchi, you know, which from a material perspective for a 5-year-old boy is no great deal. All the time we have our mothers and stepmothers and all, you know, aunties and all chastising us, you know, all the time at that particular age. But this particular chastisement that he received from his mother, stepmother was so intense that he just left home. Of course, before he left home, he went to his mother, Suniti, and she guided him and told him that if you want to see, actually, the only person who can help you is Lord Narayan in this situation. I can't help you. And then Dhruva Maharaj or Dhruva asked his mother, so how do I find Narayan? And then she said that Narayan is available in the forest. So if you want Narayan, you should go and see him in the forest. And immediately, Dhruva leaves home, you know, at the age of 5. And as he is proceeding towards the forest, this dense, dark jungle, he meets Narad Muni, who comes over there in order to see whether Dhruva is determined in his resolution to see Narayan. So we have the spiritual master who keeps putting us into the situations to see whether we are really sincere in our own Krishna consciousness. So Narad Muni, actually the spiritual master for all of us, and in this particular case, he took on the role of the spiritual master of Dhruva. And he came to Dhruva and said, that my dear Dhruva, what happened? Where are you heading for? And Dhruva said that I'm going to the jungle because my mother told me that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is available, you know, to whoever goes to the jungle and does this meditation. And then Narad Muni said, but you are such a small boy, what is the need for you to go to the jungle? You know, such things. And then, of course, Dhruva told him the whole story, what happened. So Narad Muni said that, you know, such things, they keep happening all the time. What's so great about it? You know, it's no great deal for a 5-year-old boy like you. You should be actually going and playing. You should be forgetting about all this. And then Dhruva said that, I'm very grateful for your instruction. I'm very grateful for your advice. But you please instruct me. I need instructions from you how I should, you know, be able to find Narayan. And then Narad Muni, seeing that he is so determined, then gives him this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and tells him to go and chant this mantra. And Dhruva, it was not that he just went over there and chanted his mantra, you know. He had to undergo tremendous austerities. You know, he was actually, for the first 3 days, he was just eating wild roots and berries. You know, for a 5-year-old boy to be doing such austerities is also practically unimaginable. Like, you know, we have so many children growing up in our society, and we see that, you know, they are, in one sense, so much accustomed to so many material comforts, and even then they are not satisfied. You know, all the time we have to keep giving them, you know, lollipops in order to keep them quiet. But here is Dhruva, who goes into the jungle, and once in 3 days he is just eating this wild roots and fruits, and you know, for a whole month. And then the next month, once in 6 days, he was just drinking a little bit of water. And then the third month, he was just living on air. So progressively he was just increasing his penance and tapasya to such an extent that finally at the end of the 6th month, when he had practically stopped breathing, and that was the time when there was so much of disturbance in the whole creation, and then Lord Narayan had to come in front of him. And Lord Narayan gave him his darshan, and not just his darshan, you know, because Dhruva was so small, he didn't have any knowledge of the Vedic scriptures. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead took his conch shell and put it on the head of Dhruva, and with that, Dhruva became completely enlightened, and then he started glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, you know, the Lord asked him, what is it that you need? Actually, Dhruva had come over there with a desire to get a kingdom which is greater than his great-grandfather, right? So we all know his father is Suttanapad, the grandfather is Swayambhu Manu, and his great-grandfather was Lord Brahma. So he wanted a kingdom which was far greater than what Lord Brahma actually owned. So that was his desire. But then when he got the darshan of the Lord, his heart became so completely purified that he was thinking to himself that actually I have come over here seeking this broken pieces of glass, but actually I have got this diamond. So of Krishna Prem. So similarly we see also when we see the life of Kardama Muni, in order to get Devahuti as his wife, you know, he underwent tapasya for 1,000 years, right? So of course, Devahuti was not an ordinary soul also. She was a daughter of Swayambhu Manu. And it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that she was so extremely beautiful that it so happened that once when she was actually playing out in the garden, the king of the Gandharvas, who was passing through on his airplane, you know, he happened to see her, and then he was so much enamored by just looking at her that he fell off the airplane, you know. So she was so beautiful. But when it came to selecting her husband, you know, her father, Swayambhuva Manu, plays such an important role and, you know, brings her to meet Kardama Muni. And, you know, just by looking at Kardama Muni and seeing his ascetic qualities, you know, he was such a great sage, she immediately fell in love with him. And as a wife, she actually started serving him with tremendous amount of humility and tremendous amount of dedication. And then it's described how she became emaciated and, you know, her hair started becoming matted and she lost all her bodily luster just in the service of her husband. And her husband also was such a great soul that he could realize from within his heart that, you know, after all, a woman needs to be a mother, you know. So, and the forest is not really an appropriate place in order to procreate, because as Srila Prabhupada would say, a forest is considered to be in the mode of goodness, and in order to procreate, we need to be in the mode of passion. So then Kardama Muni creates this huge, beautiful, flying palace, you know, not just a palace, actually it was a whole creation that he put together, you know, where there was several palaces and gardens and waterfalls and lakes and, you know, and this particular creation could move at the speed of the mind, you know. So, and in this creation, in this particular place, Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they spent 100 celestial years just traveling all over the planetary systems, you know, going from place to place. And then finally, at the end of that period, Kardama Muni gives 9 beautiful daughters to Devahuti. And then when she says that, you know, and then at that particular point of time, Kardama Muni is ready to leave and go back into the forest in order to do tapasya. And then Devahuti requests him to once again, you know, please give me a son. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead advents in the womb of Devahuti as Kapila Muni. So we see that, you know, great austerities results in great things. And you know, what better example is there for us to look at than Srila Prabhupada himself in his own life, how it was that, you know, the age of 70, you know, for a person like him to leave Vrindavan Dham, you know, which is normally a place where, you know, most Indians go to at the time of planning, you know, their departure from this world. Either you go to Vrindavan, or you go to Kashi, or you go to, you know, Gaya, or any of these holy places, and you just be there, you know, just existing and just living out your life, just waiting for the time of death. But Srila Prabhupada, at that particular age, you know, he comes to the West. And I was just reading, in fact, I had read the Lilamrit several years back, just when I was new into the movement. I, you know, the first book that I came across and I read was actually Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrit. And after several years, recently I started reading the Lilamrit once again, just to experience, you know, what is it that Srila Prabhupada had actually gone through. And I was reading the initial days of Srila Prabhupada in New York, and, you know, how it was that, you know, he was staying with this crazy person called Alan. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada actually was thinking that this boy is shaping up so well, he's becoming such a wonderful devotee, I will initiate him, I'll make him into a devotee of Krishna. And then all of a sudden this boy, you know, who was, you know, so intoxicated and all the time in so much of, you know, madness, he behaved in such a crazy way with Srila Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada actually had to run out in order to save his life. And then there Srila Prabhupada was, with nobody, you know, right in the middle of the road, so to say, and nobody to really, you know. And then finally, Srila Prabhupada, you know, gets this place, the matchless gift, you know, for which they had to pay $125 per month. And, you know, there was a small apartment on the backside, which was $71. So it was total $196. And Srila Prabhupada had no clue from where he's going to be getting this money. And the first month's rent, they just chipped in, whoever was there, you know, Mukund Goswami Maharaj and a few others who were there at that time, they just chipped in and put together the money in order to pay the first month's rent. And after that, Srila Prabhupada had no clue where the money is going to come from. And it is described, you know, Saraswati Maharaj describes how it is that when Srila Prabhupada was moving from the place where he was staying into this matchless gift, into that apartment, you know, all the devotees were carrying Srila Prabhupada's belongings and they were growing in a line, you know, towards this. And it was quite a walk actually, 15-20 minute walk. And there was this hot sun and Srila Prabhupada himself was carrying these two bags. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, as I was reading that particular pastime, how is it, you know, what does it need a 70-year-old man who had suffered two heart attacks and, you know, who was actually in so much of, anxiety because he didn't even know where he was going to, what is going to happen to him and how things are going to unfold in the future. I mean, if I were to be in that situation, what would I have done, you know? I mean, here we have a situation where, you know, when we come and visit a temple, we have devotees coming and picking us up from the airport and, you know, having a nice accommodation and the prasadam is arranged and everything is, you know, taken care of. But then Srila Prabhupada, you know, he didn't even know where his rent is going to come from. He didn't even know where his prasadam is going to come from, you know. And I was just thinking to myself that, you know, what sort of austerity Srila Prabhupada had to do in those days. And anybody in that situation would have actually given up and just, you know, said, you know, to hell with it. Why should I be doing all this? You know, my godbrothers, they are telling me again and again and again that, you know, this, we cannot be really going and preaching to all those people in the West. They will not listen to us. Why do you want to go and waste your time? But there was this one instruction that his spiritual master had given him about 45-50 years back that was there so clear in Srila Prabhupada's mind that just kept on making him, you know, go on and on and on. And several times it's explained that he would actually go to the waterfront and see the ships and then just meditate, oh, if I could be on the ship, I could be actually going back to India and going into the, you know, going back to Vrindavan. So it was not very easy for Srila Prabhupada to begin this movement, you know. So the first 1 year that Srila Prabhupada, you know, with so much of difficulty. And then actually one would have thought, yes, okay, you know, he has encountered all these devotees, all those people who are interested in practicing Krishna consciousness, and then Srila Prabhupada would take a back seat. No. Even later, you know, we all know from this episode of how he got this land in Bombay, you know, where we see this beautiful temple of Sisi Radha Ras Bihari standing today. Just a few years back, they went for an extensive renovation and, you know, the whole place has become completely transformed. It's actually heaven on earth now. You know, they call it the heaven on earth project. And if you really go through the property, you see that, you know, it is actually heaven on earth. And so much of endeavor Srila Prabhupada had to put in order to get that property. It was like, you know, 4.5 acres of land, and the price was, you know, 16 lakhs of rupees. And even at that time, 16 lakhs of rupees was considered to be a large amount. But then Srila Prabhupada just persevered, you know. Somehow or the other, he wanted that land for Sri Radha Ras Bihari. And Srila Prabhupada was so shrewd, you know. Where would you get a sannyasi who has got so much knowledge of all that is, you know, all the legal things that are required to be complied with? But Srila Prabhupada knew everything. You know, he knew that if we get possession of this land, and it is true, in India, possession is actually 90% ownership. You know, if you get possession of a particular piece of property, then it is very, very difficult for you to be dispossessed because, you know, if you... The actual owner could go to court and, you know, the court case could go on for maybe 30 years, by which time, you know, both the parties are dead, actually. So that's the, you know, phenomena in India. And Prabhupada knew this. He knew that, you know, once he gets this possession of this land from this Mr. N, then, you know, nothing could ever, or rather, you know, it would require tremendous amount of endeavor on the part of Mr. N and the court and the government in order to evict them. Yeah, so right from day one, he was telling his disciples that, you know, we should just go there and, you know, be on the property, just sit on the property, you know. And his disciples were actually thinking to themselves, because I've seen this apartment that all the devotees were staying in, Akash Ganga apartment. One day I just happened, because it's very close to where I live, so I just happened to go and see this building. You know, it's a swanky building overlooking the ocean. And the name of the building was Akash Ganga. And, you know, anybody staying in that building would obviously not want to go to a place like Juhu, you know, which is at 40 years back. Of course, now it's a very beautiful locality, you know, very upcoming, very hip and very, modern locality. But 40 years back, it was just a jungle. And at that time, I remember in the 70s, you know, anything beyond a place called Dadar, which is still about 10 kilometers away from Juhu, was considered to be, you know, jungle. You know, not a place that anybody would want to go to. But Srila Prabhupada had looked at this piece of land, you know, as he was going on his walks, and, you know, he had liked that particular piece of land, and he was determined that somehow or the other I should get it. So when Srila Prabhupada was telling his disciples that why don't you just move on to this land, you know, for them to be giving up this comfortable apartment in Akash Ganga was such an austerity, that they would keep going and telling Prabhupada, you know, that really we should not be staying on this land, you know, we should... I think, you know, this place in Akash Ganga is right for us and it's so much facility for preaching and this and that. And then Srila Prabhupada gives them this very, very important question, you know, which actually is a question to all of us. Don't you want to get purified? Yeah. So, and Srila Prabhupada really, you know, intended that all his devotees, all his disciples should really work very hard, you know, endeavor very hard, put in so much of austerities. In fact, yesterday I was talking to two devotees from here who are associated with the Bombay project. So it was a tremendous amount of austerities. And then finally, you know, when the devotees were still putting in all this endeavor over there and trying to worship the deities and all that, and there was so much of, you know, this Mr. N, he was politically extremely well connected. You know, he was a publisher of a newspaper, which at that time was extremely prominent, the Free Press Journal. So this man, he had already cheated a company earlier, you know, and he had taken some money from them. And then, you know, because of some excuse, he saw to it that that particular company did not get possession of this property. And he was trying to play the same trick on Srila Prabhupada, you know. So, but Srila Prabhupada was so shrewd that, you know, he realized that if you get the possession of the property, get our people onto it, start the worship of the deities, nothing can ever move Sri Siddhartha Das Bihari. And it is true, you know, in India, that particularly when it comes to worshipping deities and, you know, having any religious organization connected with any piece of land, it's extremely difficult to get them evicted. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada knew this, and, you know, long drawn court battle and, you know, these gundas coming and attacking the devotees and, you know. So, and we see over here how Krishna reciprocated with Srila Prabhupada. You know, just at that particular time when Srila Prabhupada required, you know, Krishna's help the most, yeah, there was this phone call that was made by one of Srila Prabhupada's very close friend, Kartikeya Mahadevia, who rang up this extremely influential politician, Bal Thackeray, right? And, you know, as I was reading this pastime, I was just thinking that Bal Thackeray, you know, for the last 40 years has been playing a very, very prominent role in the whole Indian politics. You know, very powerful personality. And my realization was that just because he did this little bit of service to Srila Prabhupada, you know, his Krishna himself gave him so much of glories and gave him so much of opulence. Yeah, and it is true. He just made a phone call to this municipal commissioner asking him, what are you doing? How can you evict the deities that are already kept on the premises? You know, are you stupid? Are you a Hindu? Or what are you? You know, so, and then this municipal commissioner became so much agitated that immediately he went and cancelled his order for eviction of these deities. And, you know, and overnight, Srila Prabhupada instructed his disciples that this happened on a Friday and the court was to meet on the Monday. So there was a weekend in between. And then Srila Prabhupada told his disciples that just over the weekend, construct whatever is possible. Yeah. So then all the devotees, you know, they went on a marathon and practically the whole of Saturday and whole of Sunday, they were just constructing and constructing and constructing. And by Monday morning, they had a reasonable structure ready. And then when this matter went up to the judge for hearing, the judge said, whatever is constructed is already constructed. You can't do anything about it. You know, that's... So Srila Prabhupada, the visionary, was really so clear in his mind that, you know, this is what I want. and Krishna reciprocated. But it's not that, you know, towards the later part of his movement, you know, Krishna did not make Prabhupada or his disciples endeavor. At every stage, there was so much of endeavor that they had to put in. And even today, we see that, you know, although the Krishna consciousness movement is expanding all over the world, particularly in India in a very, very big way, there is so much endeavor that the devotees are putting in, you know, in terms of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, in terms of, you know, construction of new temples. You know, so there is a lot of endeavor that is being put in by the devotees, and at every stage Krishna is reciprocating. So, you know, just like how Srila Prabhupada mentions over here in the pastime that, you know, the more we endeavor for the Lord, the more Krishna reciprocates. You know, yata mam prapatyante tamstataiva bhajamiham mama vartamano vartante manushya partha sarvasa. You know, we have to do that little bit of an endeavor, you know, and then Krishna is so satisfied that, you know, he reciprocates. And to the extent that we put in the endeavor, to that extent Krishna reciprocates. So that's the mercy that the Lord, you know, has for all of us. Now, he's extremely merciful. That when child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Bhagavad. Thank you for your nice class. I guess you've been in the movement for quite a long time. How is it going on in India? I mean, how is it spreading nicely, and how book distribution? And tell us a little bit, you know, how Krishna consciousness is going on in India.
I've not been in the movement for too many years. I mean, just a few years. Yeah, but yes, Krishna consciousness is really flourishing in India at this point of time. You know, first of all, ISKCON is highly respected as a religious organization of, very prominent religious organization. In fact, in the last financial year, every year, the government rates religious organization in terms of the annual income. And in the last financial year, ISKCON in India was the number one religious organization in the private sector. Of course, in the government, you know, the government controls a lot of religious organizations today in India. Like the Tirupati temple is actually controlled by the government. You know, it's so. And most of the richest temples in India are being controlled by the government today. For various reasons, you know, the government has taken over this management because they were finding that, you know, there is so much of corruption and so much of mismanagement that is happening. So the government has appointed their own officers and taken over the management of most of the big temples, you know. And recently, I don't know if you're aware, you know, in Trivandrum, there is a very, very big temple of Lord Vishnu, Padmanabha Swami temple, yeah. So this is a temple which is actually connected to the king of Trivandrum. You know, ages back, you know, it was his personal deity, and the deity is really magnificent. I mean, the deity of Vishnu is lying on Sheshnag, and you cannot see the deity from one place. You need to see the deity from three different doors. From the first door, you see his lotus face. From the second door, you see his navel. And from the third door, you see his lotus feet. So that's how large the deity is. And this deity was worshipped by the king of Kerala, and Trivandrum was the headquarters of that king. And, at that time, the amount of wealth that was transferred to the possession of this of the deity is being revealed today, because, it so happened that when somebody was digging, they came across a room where there was, I mean, immeasurable, the value of that, of the diamonds and rubies and emeralds and, you know, gold and silver that is there in the room. And this was just one room. You know, they're trying to figure out what is the exact value of that particular wealth. So, in
you know, because of that, the government has actually taken over the running and management of most of the temples in India. But in the private sector, which means that, you know, which is like a trust-managed temple, ISKCON is number one today. And yeah, Krishna consciousness is really flourishing. People are very positive to ISKCON. We have a very good image over there. And they're highly respectful of devotees. We have a lot of devotees in very prominent positions in society who are active members of the Krishna consciousness movement. So they are, you know, advocating, you know, the movement in a very active way. So from that point of view, when in India, the tendency of the people is to always look up to the leaders. So when they see that the leaders are getting associated with any movement, then they will automatically follow. It's like a herd mentality. So, you know, so that is what is happening. And, you know, several of Srila Prabhupada disciples have met very prominent personalities. Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, you know, from his temple in Delhi, you know, he has met the Prime Minister and the President, you know, on several occasions, and invited them to the temple, and they've actually come to our temple in Delhi. You know, so, and this is just, you know, a couple of personalities, but there are so many others also, very influential industrialists and, you know, well-known doctors and philanthropists who have shown that, you know, they are very, that ISKCON is a very favorable organization to be connected to. And of course, this life membership scheme is another thing, you know, which is attracting a lot of people, you know, doctors and lawyers and, you know, people of very prominent people in the society are becoming life members because they want to be life members. You know, it's not that we are approaching them with a membership now. You know, it's hardly the case. They just come, and because their friend is a life member, they also want to be life members. You know, of course, this 3-day stay in any part of the world and all that attracts them, no doubt. But they want to be connected with ISKCON because they understand that ISKCON is an organization which is ethical, which is, you know, very fixed in its philosophy as well as in its application of the philosophy. You know, they see that these morning programs are going on for the last 40 years in Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple, for example. You know, so they are attracted. So, yeah, I can see. And the book distribution is going on in such an unbelievable way, you know, particularly in the marathon. All the congregation members and the temple devotees, they go out to distribute books. And practically now in India, millions of books are being sold every year. Millions of books. So it's like, you know, and yeah, I can see that if we, you know, just continue to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will definitely, you know, give us so much more opulence. And, you know, temples are getting constructed. Multi-million dollar temples are being built just like this. You know, recently there was an industrialist who, you know, has been actually associated with ISKCON for the last 20 years. And in the sense that, you know, he was more like from outside. His mother is, you know, a devotee of ISKCON. But he was not really, you know, a devotee of ISKCON in that sense. But then recently, you know, he gave to ISKCON a 4-acre piece of land right in the heart of the city, which at a very conservative estimate would be worth between $20 to $30 million just for the land. Yeah, in Bombay today we have 3 temples. Sorry, his name is Piramal, Ajay Piramal. Yeah, he owns a pharmaceutical company, and he is in the Forbes list, you know, of the top 500 wealthy people in the world. And you know, on his own, spontaneously, he came forward and said, and today in India, in Bombay, we have 3 big temples, and there's a 4th one coming up in there's one in Juhu. The land is in Thane. It's a suburb of Mumbai. It's about 30 kilometers from downtown Mumbai. But still, you know, it is an upcoming residential locality. It's a place where most people now purchase apartments because it's affordable. And, you know, he has come forward with that donation of the land. And, yeah, so also the government actually gave us about 8 acres of land in Khargar, you know, where Juhu Temple is now coming up with a very beautiful temple. The deities are already installed over there, Sisi Radha Madan Mohan. Yeah, and yeah, that's also going to be a huge temple. We can see 8 acres of land was given practically free by the government. Again, in a very prominent location of Mumbai. Yeah, so the government is also extremely, you know, positive about us, and you know, moving forward, we can see that ISKCON is going to have a bright future. Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, about a few months ago, I saw I watched a DVD, Satsarup Maharaj, and this was an older DVD, but he had said that at that time, India was the biggest country that slaughtered cows. When I heard the statistic, I was a little bit surprised. So and when he made this tape, it was like maybe 6 or 7 years ago. So how is that going along now, since it seems like the government is more favorable toward devotees and everything?
Unfortunately, no. I was in fact reading an article recently, there it said, you know, that India is going to be the largest exporter of beef in the world. So it's extremely tragic, you know, that in this land of Bharatvarsha, yeah, but then that, according to them, is an important source of foreign exchange, you know, money coming into. Yeah, so that has not changed, unfortunately, Prabhu. It's just. Yes.
I was a teenager. They used to drop us in GPO, Bhakti Ananda Swarup Maharaj. He was our Sankirtan leader.
Uh-huh.
78, 79, I remember. And those Bengalis, they used to pull our sikha. Almost every day I used to get pulled sikha. And we had a nickname called CIA agent.
Yeah.
We are never respected. And 10 years back I went, the same people, same area, I see everybody folded their hand and respect Hare Krishna when
yes.
they see the devotee. I was tremendously changed within my heart that,
yeah.
oh, it's the biggest Prabhupada's mercy
yeah.
taking place. Yeah, it's big effect.
You're right, Prabhu.
I just wanted to say, you have narrated very nicely devotee's pastimes. The difference Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives, Mother Yashoda, love, why she is the embodiment of Vatsalya Ras. Devotee also mother of God, but when Kapil Dev appeared, now before Kapil Dev appeared, Mother Devotee got two warnings, one warning from the Brahmaji and one warning from her own husband. He said, you already have 9 daughters, as you said, but she was not satisfied, she wanted a son. So they gave a warning. The first husband gave a warning. Okay, you will have a son, but he will not act like a son. So she thought, okay, maybe I'll train him up, or some idea she had. Then she did not agree in the beginning, and then again she came back. I'm still disturbed. I need a son. So okay, I told you he will act like a yogi. You think about it before. She's not happy, and the third time when she came, then she, Kardama Muni told her that as soon the child is born, he will walk away. What kind of mother you want to be? She was thinking, but she could not satisfy. She said, no, I still want a son. So when the child was born, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur in his commentary says that instead of Vatsalya Ras, why Mother Yashoda is the highest, that Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion, 43rd chapter, that why we bathe deity with milk. I never knew that. Prabhupada says, because in Mother Yashoda every day bathed the Krishna with her breast milk. So it is the beginning of why God is bathed with milk. So I was very fascinated. But Mother Devahuti could not give breast milk. As soon as Kapil Dev born, came out, he started walking, little baby, then grown up very quick and sat down like a yogi. But Mother Yashoda's milk, this Atmaram Bhagavan became completely controlled to drink that milk. And he shows his anger. So Mother Yashoda's position is extremely high compared to all.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for sharing. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai. Srila Prabhupada ki chai.